Today, as we're broadcasting this program, it is the 6th of October. That's, of course, on a pagan calendar brought to us by the Roman Catholic Church in their loves of all things Roman Empire. It is actually the 7th month, according to Yahweh, and on Wednesday of this week at sundown, on Yahweh's calendar, will be the celebration of Sukkah. It's the last of the 7 Moed Mikre of the year. And since we are just 3 days away from the celebration of Sukkah, I thought we'd spend some time talking about Sukkah. It is the destination. It is the one Moed Mikre of the 7 that is distinct from the other 6. The 6 preceding it serve as the path to God, and the 7th serves as a symbol of actually camping out with God. It is even named to camp out, Sukkah, to establish a temporary residence, a tent enclosure. And so, since this is the destination, this is what God is inviting us to participate in, to join Him, camping out with Him, temporarily here on earth and then eternally in heaven, it makes sense to evaluate this. For those that are interested in Yahweh's overall timeline, Sukkah also syncs with God's plan as it relates to human history. While humans have been around a very long time, the time clock on humanity started clicking away the moment Adam and Chawa were booted from the garden. Well, there were lots of humans at the time around the earth and living in communities and the like. The time clock to reconciliation and returning back to Eden, and make no mistake, Sukkah represents a return back to Eden. And it's not just a return to the place, it's a return to the kind of relationship that Adam and Chawa enjoyed with Yahweh in the Garden of Eden, where God camps out with His creation on His planet. And they engage in long discussions and marvelous times together. And so not only will the entire earth be like the Garden of Eden during the final celebration of Sukkah, and our relationship totally restored with Yahweh, this thousand-year celebration of Sukkah returns us to the place that we began. So Yahweh's time clock, as it relates to returning man to the Garden of Eden, to camping out with Him, began when Adam and Chawa were booted out of the garden for corrupting Yahweh's testimony at the instigation of Satan. And 1,000 years later, man had become so onerous, so religious, so militaristic, so duplicitous, that evil prevailed. And God realized that if I don't start again, if I don't create a fresh start, that there is no way that human history will play out over the 7,000 years. Mankind won't even last half of that length of time before he annihilates himself. And so God did a reboot with water during the flood. We have lots of evidence of the flood, particularly the Berkel Impact Crater. The sediments that exist of 12 to 20 feet high throughout Mesopotamia, the transition of the Black Sea from fresh water to salt water, and it rising some 500 feet in an instant, as well as the rush of water out into the Mediterranean through the Bosphorus, and the demise of civilizations back 5,000 years ago in year 1,000 Yah. Commemorating the flood. 1,000 years later, Yahweh was articulating the plan that would bring us back into a harmonious relationship with God, where we, like Adam and Chawa, were God's sons and daughters. And that plan is the covenant. The plan was conveyed to Abraham, with Yahweh first asking him to walk out of Babylon, away from his country, away from earthly entanglements, to come to the promised land, the land that Yahweh was offering. This is the land where Sukkah is celebrated, is where God will camp out with us. We're talking about Yisrael. And that covenant is developed throughout the first book of the Torah in Bereshit, where God has five requirements that he asks of those who wish to participate in the covenant, with those being to walk away from one's country, from religious and political entanglements, to disassociate with the institutions of man, and to trust Yahweh instead. Then, to walk to God along this very path that we're talking about, where the destination is Sukkah and the doorway that initiates the path is Passover, to become perfect. The third requirement, if you wish to participate in this covenant, is therefore to walk to God and become perfect, with the fourth being to observe, paying attention to, examining and considering the very terms and conditions of this covenant so that you know what God is asking those who wish to camp out with him. And finally, if we wish to participate in the covenant, we're asked to circumcise our sons on the eighth day, raising them to be God's children in harmony with the covenant. Now, this covenant, which is articulated throughout the process of the first book of the Torah, was consummated in year 2000 Yom on Mount Moriah, where Yahweh told Abraham that he himself, as our father, would provide the sacrificial lamb. It was then a dress rehearsal for Pesach and what Yahusha would do for us on Pesach. And it was a commemoration of year 2000 Yah, where now there was a means for humanity to return into a covenant relationship with Yahweh, camping out with him. In year 3000, Dod, the person that God loved more than any other human, the man whose insights and intellect stirred Yahweh, the man whose psalms, particularly psalms regarding the Torah, are the most brilliant pieces of literature ever written by God's creation, began to gather the material so that the cornerstone could be laid for God's home among his children, the temple in Jerusalem. This occurred in year 3000 Yom. Then, in accordance with Yahweh's prediction in the fourth day of creation, the greater light became visible to us to celebrate the first four Moed in year 4000 Yom. And Yahweh, in a diminished manifestation as Yahusha, set apart from him, fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, Bukodim, and Shavuah, Passover, unyeasted bread, firstborn children, and the promise of the Shabbat, in year 4000 Yah, just as he promised he would do. That was 33 CE on our pagan calendars. His plan is playing out exactly as he promised it would. Now, it is important for you to recognize that there's a direct link between the benefits of the covenant and the first four mikre being fulfilled in year 4000 Yah by Yahweh. Benefit one of the covenant is to become immortal. Passover makes us immortal. Benefit two of the covenant is to become perfect. Matzah, unyeasted bread, removing the fungus of religious and political yeast or fungus of sin from our souls, is what occurred on matzah. On Bukodim, which means firstborn children, we are adopted into Yahweh's family, the third benefit of the covenant. The fourth and fifth benefits of the covenant are for those children to grow, to be enriched with Yahweh's teaching, and to be empowered with his spirit. These occurred on Shavuah, the promise of the Shabbat. Now, from there will eventually be the fulfillment of Teruah, which is to shout for joy and to issue a warning. I suspect that will occur 7 years before year 6000 Yah, and the fall of 2026. Then on Yom Kippurim, the date that we celebrated at the end of last week, on Yom Kippurim, the day of reconciliations, on that essential day, That is when Yah is going to return. And he's going to return on Yom Kippurim in year 6000 Yah. 5 days later, returning the entire earth to the conditions experienced in the Garden of Eden, ridding the entire world of every religious and political and militaristic and patriotic soul, every one of them vanquished. Either their lives annihilated, their souls ceasing to exist, or them being incarcerated forever in Sheol, depending if they were a victimizer or a victim of religion, politics, patriotism, and militarism. That's going to occur in year 6000 Yah as we celebrate Sukkah in that year. And then between the year 6000 Yah and 7000 Yah, in total consistency with the Torah's presentation of the Shabbat, of 6 days that we work and the seventh day we rest, we reflect in our relationship with Yahweh. Yahweh will celebrate Sukkah as a 1,000-year Shabbat between year 6000 and year 7000 Yah. That's why this day is so prophetic of what is to come. So as bad as human behavior becomes, as stupid as mankind becomes, as deadly, as vicious, as inhumane as we become, and we are now surpassing the brutality and the carnage and the duplicity that was experienced during the time of the flood. And no matter how bad it becomes, the light that is at the end of this very dark tunnel through which we are currently enduring is the celebration of Sukkah immediately following Yom Kippurim, where Yahweh will return and will restore the earth to a condition identical to that found in the Garden of Eden, including our relationship. So this is the celebration of that very thing, of camping out with God here on earth for 1,000 years. And then on this particular celebration of Sukkah, as we will discover, there is an eighth day, eight being the sign of eternity, because after Sukkah, we get to enjoy eternity with Yahweh. And so Yahweh spoke to Moshe. Yahweh's name, as we have learned, is comprised with a arm reaching down and an open hand reaching out to two people, one man, one woman, standing upright, reaching up, looking up to him. On either side, they have a tent peg, the Hebrew wall, which means to increase, to make secure, to add to. That's Yahweh's name. Speaks volumes about who he is and what he's offering and how we are encouraged to respond to him. He, Dabar, spoke using words to Moshe, a name which means to draw out. He was the individual that Yahweh engaged with to draw us away from the institutions of military, institutions of religion, the institutions of politics, that were pervasive in enslaving his children in Egypt. For the purpose of saying, La Amar, converse, Dabar, speak with, communicate with, the children of Yisrael, Bini Yisrael, the children who engage and endure with God, to say, on the 15th day, Baha Shemesh, Ashar Yom, of the seventh La Shaba'i month, time of renewal, Kodesh, is the festival feast, Chag, of shelters, Sukkah, for 7 days, in proximity to and in association with, to approach La, Yahweh. So Yahweh is speaking, and he says that on the 15th day of the seventh month, there is a festival feast, a party, of shelters, of camping out for 7 days to approach Yahweh. So if you wanted to approach God, might you look to this day? Why is it that those who are Christians claim that they can approach God by going to their church, even though God never mentions any institution or building, even remotely akin to a church? When in fact, God said, if you want to approach me, I'm establishing this party. It's called Sukkah. Why would religious people bow down to God when God says, in my presence, I want you to party? Sukkah is a chag. Chag means to celebrate, to party, to have a festival feast, to have a good time. Good time, good dancing, good music, good food, good drink, a time of merriment and celebration. You know, it's really hard to dance on your knees. This is a party, folks. God's invited us to celebrate a party, a festival feast, a chag. And the chag where we get the chance to enter his presence is called Sukkah, where we camp out together. And there's a direct association with seven. Not only is this the 15th day of the seventh month, but we camp out for 7 days. Seven ought to tell you everything you need to know. Why just skip over it as if it were irrelevant? Seven in Hebrew is from Sheba. It's the Hebrew word for promise, to give a binding, provide a binding oath. It's also the Hebrew word for seven, which is described early and often in the Torah as the answer to 6 plus 1, as the product of 6 plus 1, of the 6 days of creation and the 6 days of human toil, leading to a seventh day of rest and reflection in the company of Yahweh. So seven is the promise that one, which is the number of man, plus six, which is, one in the number of God, who is one, and six, which is the number of man who is created on the sixth day, equals seven, which is man plus God together. That's what Sukkah is a celebration of. We come into association with Yahweh on this day. And we can do so because those of us who are members of the covenant have already benefited from becoming immortal. That was occurred on Passover. From being perfected. That occurred on Matzah. From being adopted into his family. And that occurred on Bukkudim. Being enriched and empowered. Oh, that already occurred on Shavuot. We're already his heralds. Our relationship reconciled on Yom Kippurim. So we're prepared to be in the presence of the very creator of the universe, to camp out with him on this day. So Yahweh has invited us to a party. It's called the party shelters, Sukkah, camping out together. And he said that it's the 15th day of the seventh month, and for 7 days that we camp out together, all just to enjoy one another's company. And yet, what percentage of the world's population pays attention to this invitation? One in a million? And by the way, you can engage, since Yahweh's spirit, partying with him and camping out with him wherever you are. If you're actually going to pitch a tent, the tent should be pitched in Yisrael. Very few people do that. But you can camp out with God wherever you are, because our souls are adopted into his family. Now, just to talk about Sukkah a bit, I want to make certain that you know that it's accurately rendered here as camping out, as a temporary enclosure, as a place where families live together. A derivation of Sukkah, known as Sukkoth, was first used in Bereshith. This would be Genesis 33:17. Jacob, who was renamed Yisrael, traveled to Sukkoth. the tabernacle of protection, if you will, and built a house and made shelters for his animals. So Yahweh spent, by the way, his first night set apart as a diminished manifestation as a child in one of these shelters. That's why Yahusha, Mary and Joseph, Miriam and Yosef were in Jerusalem, the suburbs of Jerusalem being Bethlehem, at this time of year, because it was the time that you come into the heart of the land and pitch your tent, camp out. It wasn't a coincidence. In the case of most words, we found this was true with Yahweh as we investigated Yom Kippurim last week. Yahweh typically defines them in their first use. The festival of shelters, therefore, of Sukkah, is about us living in God's home under his protection. The Exodus begins. Now, the children of Israel traveled from Ramses to Sukkah, from a place named after the Egyptian sun god, to the place of shelter, Sukkoth. About 600,000, six being the number of man, aside from the children. And they set out from Sukkoth and camped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. So we have another affirmation of what Sukkah means. We find it again in the book of Yonah, corrupted to Jonah. Then Yonah, it's a name meaning Yah's dove. The dove is a symbol for Yahweh's spirit. Went out and made a shelter, a sukkah, a covering, and he relaxed in the shade. So we find that protection from the elements, protection from the vicious nature of humankind is found in the shade of the Almighty, under Yah's spirit. In Job 27:18, sukkah is a home which a watchman made. A sukkah is a protected dwelling place, a home in which people live. Yeshayah's prophetic journey begins, the daughter of Sion is left like a sukkah shelter in a vineyard. Sion means signpost along the way. Like a watchman's tent, sukkah, in a cultivated field. Like a protected city. That's Yeshayah 1:8. Yeshayah 4:6 says that a sukkah is a shelter to provide shade and a refuge and protection from storms. Storm is a metaphor for the adversary, Satan. Also in Amos 9:11, sukkah represents the house and tabernacle of Dod, which is the Hebrew word for love. It's been corrupted to David, which has fallen but will be raised up and rebuilt during the millennial celebration of the sukkah. The house of Dod, the house of David, will be reestablished, and a grand celebration of 1,000 years here on earth between year 6,000 and 7,000. Yeah. The concept of a temporary home and tabernacle is also conveyed in the book of 2 Samuel, listen to God would be the translation of Samuel, where all things, Yah, are brought together for our edification. It reads, and Orah, Or is the Hebrew word for light, Yah is the familial form of Yahweh's name, and Or-Yah, Yah's light, said to Dod, El Dod, to Dod, to the beloved. The Ark, Ha-Eron. Ark is the source of enlightened free will. And it's the chest which contains the mercy seat, the tablets that Yah etched in stone, and is accompanied by his Torah that is forever associated with the covenant. It's called the Ark of the Covenant. So it's the source of enlightened free will and association with the covenant relationship. So he's said to Dod, the Ark, Yisrael, which means individuals who engage and endure with God, Ish, Sarah, El. And Yahuda, which means to relate to Yahweh and to be related to Yah. Inhabit, live, dwell, and are established in covered shelters, sukkah, the temporary tabernacles, homes, and protective enclosures. So, even goes on to say that they are present in open fields where we camp out. So, sukkah here is being associated with Yah's light, with the Ark of the Covenant, with Yisrael, individuals who engage and endure with God, with Yahuda, which is to relate to Yah and to be related to Yah, and to living, Yashab, to live, to dwell, to be established, all in these sukkah, covered shelters. So you get the idea. This is what sukkah represents. So Yahweh went on in the Torah, in the book of Korah, called out Leviticus 23:35 and said, on the first and foremost day, Ha-Rishon, Yom, there is a set apart, Kodesh, separating and cleansing, invitation to be called out and meet, a Mikra. We were told of Yom Kippurim, the Day of Reconciliations, that it was Kodesh, set apart, and a Mikra, a time where we are invited to be called out and to meet with God. Following that pattern, Sukkah, like Yom Kippurim, is a set-apart day, a special day, a day that is not to be considered ordinary, that is set apart unto our relationship with Yahweh. It's an invitation, a mikra, to be called out and to meet, a summons to be welcomed, encountering God during an assembly devoted to reading and reciting His word. It is from Kara, which means to call out and to welcome, to invite and to summon, to read and recite, to meet and to encounter. So Yahweh has defined the purpose of this day, which is to camp out together in His home. He has described this day as being based upon the promise of the Shabbat of seven, which is important. Seven has already made its way into the description twice. He has said that this is a set apart day. It's Kodesh. Everything that's important to Yahweh, including His children and covenant, are set apart. He said that this day is a chag, a celebratory feast, a great party. And He has called it a mikra, an invitation from the Creator of the universe to His creation to be called out of the world and to meet on this day. Well, that's pretty descriptive. You don't really need to know much more than that, to know how to celebrate this day, to know when to celebrate this day, to know the benefits of answering the invitation on this day. The words are clear. Why is it, do you suppose, then, that of the nation's great religions, to use the Obaminator's term, not one of them directs our attention to sukkah? Not one. Why is it? Why is it that those who claim to be religious universally ignore God's testimony, His invitation? You'd think that if you had a religion that claimed that the Torah was inspired, and Christians do, they include the Torah, it's the first five books of their Bibles. Muslims do, they claim that the Quran confirms the Torah. Religious Jews do. They are of the belief that they're Torah observant, when in fact they're Talmud observant, but they view themselves as being Torah observant. Wrongly so. Now, with the Torah also recognized by historians as the most accurate portrayal of ancient history, you know, you'd think that somewhere along the line that somebody would say, wait a minute, the God that inspired the Torah invited us to be called out and meet and celebrate a party with Him on the 15th day of the seventh month. And that this is important. It's Kodesh. It's set apart. Maybe we ought to consider, I don't know, let's go on a limb here, answering the invitation, responding. What do you think, Mabel? Does that make sense to you? I mean, he proved that he's God. He proved that he's created, the creator of the universe. He proved that he can be trusted and relied upon. Why not answer his invitation and meet? And yet, perhaps 1 in 1 million people do. Heaven is not going to be a very crowded place. He tells us on this day, as he did in his depiction of Yom Kippurim, you should not engage in any of the work of the heavenly messenger. This is Kara 23:35. Why? Because the work of the heavenly messenger, whether it be the set-apart spirit or Yahusha, to prepare us for this inevitability, this opportunity to camp out with God and to celebrate a party with him, has already been accomplished. There is no reason for us to redo what he has perfectly done. We'll be back. For 7 days, Yahweh says, as he continues his invitation in a book called Invitations, Kara, the book that was bastardized to Leviticus, who knows why. Kara is the actual name of the book. It means invitation to be called out. Yahweh says, for 7 days, approach and come near. Karab. Remember Karab, how it appeared in the presentation of the Mikra of Yom Kippurim? And we were invited to respond to Ana, and then Karab, approach, come near, the feminine manifestation of Yah's light. Well, in this day, we're asked to exactly do the exact same thing. For 7 days, approach and come near the maternal manifestation of the light unto Yahweh, to approach Yahweh. Same exact request. This time we do it for 7 days. For 7 days, we appear before, present ourselves before, approach the material, maternal manifestation of Yah's light, the adoptive mother who purifies, enlightens, and elevates, the Isha, unto law, to approach Yahweh. That's the purpose of this day. The shelter that we are actually benefiting from on this day, celebrating on this day, is the garment of light. The garment of light is the wardrobe and under which we are adorned by our spiritual mother so that we appear perfect in Yah's eyes, so that we are empowered by Yahweh. It is the mechanism. And so the very covering that Sukkah represents, under which we live and under which we are protected, is the very light of Yahweh as manifest through the set-apart spirit. So we're seeing a further development of what it means to approach, to come near, to be joined to and closely associated with the Isha, the maternal manifestation of Yahweh's light. This time, rather than as a single day of doing that, Yahweh said, do it for 7 days. Understand, again, the importance of seven in association with God's promises to bring us together. And after all, this is not a 7 days that you just give up from the world and say, all right, you know, boy, my God, she's so demanding. Now he wants me to give him these 7 days. No, it's 7 days to party. 7 days to party. Party with God. And what you'll find is that on most of these days, you're able to engage in your normal lives. Beginning and end are Shabbatons, special set-apart days, where we can still do everything we would normally do in association with our families and our homes, while setting the day apart as special to enjoy, to celebrate our relationship in the covenant as Yahweh's children. and camp out with him. It just, he's got a couple of days. He says, you know, I don't want you to do your ordinary work on two of these days. Not asking much. Particularly since you've got God himself offering this invitation to party with him. Who wouldn't want to party with God? Who wouldn't want to spend time in God's presence? Who wouldn't want to celebrate the covenant relationship? So for 7 days, approach and come near. The maternal manifestation of the fiery light to approach Yahweh. Then bringing it all together, God says, on the eighth day, there exists a set-apart invitation to meet, a mikra, on your behalf, and you shall answer and respond to the summons and present yourself and appear before Karab, the adoptive mother who purifies and enlightens, Isha, to approach Yahweh. The eighth day is important here. And the eighth day is important because eight symbolizes eternity. It is from the Shemini, is from Shemin, which means oil. It's a metaphor for the spirit. And if you look even at the number, and they're wrongly called Arabic numbers, there really is no alphabet of Arabic. The entire Arabic alphabet is really Hebrew. Their names are Hebrew, their sounds are Hebrew, their derivation is Hebrew. The Hebrew eighth letter in the Hebrew language was drawn just like the infinity sign, later becoming the numeral eight. That's what God is talking about here, camping out with him for all time.